Today's topic is designing your destiny. I'm going to give you 4 life-altering reasons to write your own eulogy.
Do you have a message to share and wonder, how do I get heard? Broadcasting from the land of 10,000 lakes, welcome to the JB Sism Show. This show will motivate you with clarity and help you find your voice so you can take your message to the next level. Now here's your host, Jason Sism.
And my friends, taking everything to the next level is exactly what I love to do each and every week here at the JB Sism Show. Well, my friends, welcome to today's episode. So glad that you're here. So today's topic is going to be a little bit morbid because we're going to be talking about death. You know, it is the most certain thing in life, and the reality is we are all conceived, born, live, and die. But it's what we do in the middle that truly matters after we're already gone. Well, in today's episode, I want to talk about writing down our eulogy. In a sense, if you were to die today, how would those alive and remaining remember you? This is something I have done recently myself, and it has greatly impacted my life, my relationships, and my vision for life. Well, today I'm going to walk you through my process, the process I did to write my own eulogy, so that you can begin designing your own destiny. Well, I'm excited to be kicking today's episode off. It's going to be great. We're going to talk about these 4 things, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Stick around, my friends. I'll be right back. You know, one of the things that has recently plagued my life and the life of my family and my church family is death. And it's something that people usually don't like talking about. Death seems so morbid and so spooky. Well, maybe not spooky, but you know, death is something that plagues our humanity. And it's the most certain thing in life. I was saying that we're all conceived, we born, we live, and then we die. It is the total absolution of life. And recently, I've had 3 of my friends die. And I'm not meaning to get somber and really sad on everybody today, but I've had 3 of my friends die. Two of them were in their latter part of life. One of the two was in their 90s, the other in their mid to late 80s. And then I had another friend recently, about a week ago, pass away of cancer. And he was around my dad's age. So I'm 35. My dad's in his late 50s. It really hits home when people that you care about, people that you love, die. Because you can't talk to them ever again. You can't give them a hug ever again. You can't ask them how things are going. Now, granted, these friends I hadn't talked to in quite a while. I think one of the last times I talked to my friend Paul was probably at our wedding. So that was 4 years ago. It was the last time I talked to Paul. My dad has talked to him more recent than I have. But it's still a shock when people you care about die. And it's the most certain thing in life. And if we don't know where we're going in our life, and we don't know how people are going to be talking about us after we die, we are missing out on one of the greatest gifts that we can give those who we leave behind. And that is a legacy. Now, I've been listening, and I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, podcast episodes, but I had been recently listening to the Hamilton musical. And I want to read the closing lines of the musical because it's so incredibly powerful. It's the story of Alexander Hamilton, who is, or was, I should say, one of the founding fathers of our nation. He established the United States Treasury, started the U.S. Bank, Wall Street, and Alexander Hamilton was a man on a mission, and he wrote like writing was going out of style, is one of the lines in the musical. But I'm going to read the last part of this play. This is after Alexander Hamilton has been shot by Vice President Aaron Burr in a dispute. And we hear the internal turmoil that goes on inside of Alexander's heart and mind the moment he's shot. Let me read it here. I imagine death so much it feels like a memory. Is this where it gets me? On my feet, several feet ahead of me? I see it coming. Do I run or do I fire my gun or let it be? There is no beat, no melody. Burr, my friend, my enemy. Maybe the last face I ever see. If I throw away my shot, is this how you'll remember me? What if this bullet is my legacy? Legacy. What is a legacy? It's planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. I wrote some notes at the beginning of a song. Someone's going to sing for me. America, you great unfinished symphony you sent for me. You let me make a difference, a place where even orphan immigrants can leave their fingerprints and rise up. I'm running out of time, I'm running, and my time's up. Wise up, eyes up. I catch a glimpse of the other side. Lawrence leads the soldiers' chorus on the other side. My son is on the other side. He's with my mother on the other side. Washington is watching from the other side. Teach me how to say goodbye. Rise up. When I heard that phrasing, I was absolutely dumbstruck. Because here we have a man who's lived his life for America, lived his life for the future. And he's saying, legacy, what is a legacy? It's planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. I wrote some notes at the beginning of a song someone will sing for me. In other words, we have to do the work ourselves in order to see where our lives are going to end up. It's up to us to live our legacy. It's up to us to craft our lives in such a way that is going to outlive and outlast us. Because when we truly begin to understand that it's not about us, it's about planting the seeds in a garden we're never going to get to see, it is in that moment that our children, our wives, our spouses, and the people next to us will remember us. Why? Because we made a difference today. We may not see it right now, but they will see it after we're gone. My friends, you're listening to the JB Sism Show. I'll be right back. I'm often asked what tools I use in my daily life. After years of letting life get crazy, I knew I had to make a shift in my daily productivity. This is why I wrote my new ebook, Inside My Tackle Box, 23 apps to make your life and business soar. I want to give you some of the same tools that I use every day. And you'll find that some are completely free, while others for a minimal price. However, I guarantee that this sampling of daily tools will help you stay motivated with clarity so you can find your voice and succeed at life. Now, you can't buy this ebook, but you can get it completely for free by subscribing to my free e-newsletter. This newsletter will let you know when I post new content to my blog. To get your copy of my new ebook, head to jbsism.com and enter your information at the top of the page. So, go ahead, get your copy of Inside My Toolbox, available only at jbsism.com. So one of the things I want to talk about today, and I'm going to give you four different points here today, but I want to talk about writing down our eulogy. In a sense, if you're to die today, if you're to, you know, head towards that great bright light as you cross into the next life, what are you going to leave behind you? What kind of a legacy are you going to leave? I want to read a quote by Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs left an incredible legacy behind him with Apple and what he did for the computing world as well as innovation today. He said, "All external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important." You know, think about that for a second. Think about that. Everything that you have tried to accomplish in your life, all the fear and the failure and the mistakes that you have made, none of that matters after you're gone. Because people are going to only remember truly what is most important about you. People are going to look at your life, and they're going to pull the good out of your life. And that's what's going to last. That's what's going to outlive you. And yes, you know, some people will remember the mistakes. But truthfully, if you live your life And you do your best and you do your darndest to live a good life, people are going to remember the good that you have left. You know, all these things, they fall away in the face of death, he says, leaving only what truly is important. And the question we have to ask ourselves, what truly is important in our lives? You know, I think about my my friend who's near my dad's age, Paul, who died of cancer, you know, still young in his life. And he battled a difficult journey. And my dad would tell me little pieces of this and that of what Paul was experiencing and going through, and would follow a little bit on Facebook of what his family would post. And he fought hard. He fought to try to beat it. In the end, it finally took him. But he never gave up his faith. He never gave up his encouragement to others. And when I think about what's going to happen, you know, what's my ending going to be in life? I may not know until I get there. Which I hope I don't know until I get there. But really, we have to start thinking about learning to begin at the end. And that's the first thing I want to talk about, is beginning at the end. You know, when we think about our legacy, when we think about where we want to be in life, if we don't start at the end, we're not going to know how to live our life now. So think about this. When you are planning a family vacation, when you're planning that vacation, you think about the destination you're going to end up at. So if you're going to go to Disney World, you're thinking about how you're going to get to Disney World. You're thinking about how much money you need to spend once you get to Disney World. You think about what kind of car you need to rent in order to haul your family around, what kind of hotel you're going to need, and you plan everything from the end location that you're going to be ending up at. But so many times in our daily life, we don't do that, and we don't enjoy the legacy that we're going to leave behind. You know, we enjoy the vacation planning process because we know we're going to enjoy it when we get to that destination. But when I look at scripture says to teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, if you're not a Christian and if you don't believe in the Christian God and you don't believe in the Jewish God, which they're the same God, you know, that's okay. Think of this as just a good meditation. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We have to learn to understand that we are living our life and building something that's going to outlast us. We're going to be building something that is going to take us from where we are now and drop something in the ground that's going to grow tall, strong, and beautiful for our family to follow. So the questions you have to ask yourself are this. What would those closest to me remember about my life? What stories are they going to tell? Would those stories make them laugh, cry, sigh, or all three? How would you summarize what your life has meant to them? How would you summarize? How would they summarize what your life meant to them? You see, our days add up. Our days add up to the summation of our life. And if we look backwards, can we honestly say, this is the legacy that I'm leaving? And so we have to learn to begin at the end. Start there and work backwards. Secondly is design your legacy. So in other words, you have to ask your question, what kind of a legacy do I want to leave? What kind of a legacy do I want to outlast my days here on this earth? I've been reading a book by Michael Hyatt and Daniel Harkavy called Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life You Want. In other words, it's a step-by-step approach to one of life's greatest challenges. This book has opened my eyes. It's not a groundbreaking book, but this book has helped me think, process, and do things differently than how I probably would have. It's encouraged me to write down where I see my life headed. And I'm going to be talking about this over the next couple of weeks. Still yet to come. So you're going to want to stick around and hang on to these episodes. Go back and listen to them over and over again. But we want to design our legacy. We want to design a legacy that's going to outlast us. You know, when we think about legacy, we think about the rich, we think about the famous, we think about the most important people who've ever lived. You know, we think of the great presidents. We think of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln. We think about Ronald Reagan. We think about these great people who've lived before us, who have done great things. You know, think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who struck up and really started the civil rights movement. But here's the deal. Our legacy, we have one, whether it's going to be a good one or whether it's going to be a bad one is left up to you. But here's the truth. Everyone is in the process of creating and leaving a legacy. The question is not, will you leave one? The question is, what kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? And the sooner we come to grips with this kind of a reality, the sooner we come to grips with what kind of a legacy am I going to leave for my children, for my family, for those that I interact with on a daily level, on a professional level. When we come to truth and grips with that, we then begin to realize that our life and what we do daily in our life shapes our legacy. The decisions we make today shape what we're going to be doing 10, 15, 20 years from now. And they're going to be shaping what our life is going to be looking like after we're already gone. And the question is, how far is your legacy going to go? And how many generations is your legacy going to touch? And that's what it's all about. Designing a legacy that's going to outlast you and live for the generations to come. My friends, you're listening to the J.B. Sism Show. I'll be right back. One way that we can begin designing our legacy is we have to begin at the end. So what does that mean? It means we have to write down our eulogy. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that seems and sounds so morbid. It seems so counterproductive. It seems like something that we really shouldn't be doing. You know, creating a eulogy is something that is usually left up to the family after we're already gone. After we die, they all sit down and somebody writes out the story of our life and it gets read at the funeral. But what if you were to craft your own eulogy? What if you were to sit down and write out what your life is going to be like? Now think about it in the terms of, where is your life going to end up 10, 20 years from now? So if you were to die in 10 to 20 years from now, how are people going to remember you then? But write it as if the people who are living now are going to be writing it. I hope that makes sense. And so I took the task and I began writing out my eulogy. I began writing out, what is it that I want my wife to remember about me? What is it that I want my children to remember about me, the people who I work with, which in my case would be my parents. How do I want my former coworkers to remember me? How do I want my church family to remember me? And so I began asking that question, and I sat down with the task of writing out my eulogy. So in other words, I had to first identify my key relationships. And that's one of the things Michael Hyatt talks about in his book is identify your key relationships. He says the first step is to identify the various groups of people who will attend your funeral. For the sake of the exercise, assume that everyone who's alive in your life today, even if they're older than you, are going to be there. So friends, family, work associates, etc. We're not suggesting you write a paragraph about each person, because that could be dozens or hundreds of people. So in other words, you don't have to write a paragraph for each individual. You can just say my work associates or my children. And crafting it that way will really, really help you. So one of the things that I encourage you to do is get your list of priorities in order. So sit down and think and write down a list of anywhere from 7 to 9 priorities of your life that you want to address and touch on in your eulogy. And if you want a episode to listen to of this podcast that talks about ordering our priorities, I encourage you to listen to episode 033. So go to jasonsism.com/033 and you can listen to it right there. It's a sermon I gave at our church. It's called Three Right Turns to Life-Changing Priorities. So if you want a good episode to listen to, you can listen to that one. So jasonsism.com/033, Three Right Turns to Life-Changing Priorities. Well, one of the things that I did before I sat down to write my eulogy, I sat down and I wrote out my priorities. And I asked myself this question: what matters most to me in life? And so I'm going to briefly go over these. You can listen to the episode I mentioned before, episode 33, and you'll listen. You can find my list of priorities there. They're going to be slightly different than here because I was giving a sermon, but I do go into detail of the importance of our priorities. But really, I've put my priorities, 9 different life accounts, 9 different priorities in my life, and these are ranked, you know, in really the order of importance of really where I'm putting my energy and focus at. Number one is God, you know, because I believe my most important relationship in my life is my relationship with God, my Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I'm not going to try to candy coat it. It is the most important relationship in my life. And if you don't believe in God or religion, you know, that's okay. You know, take it for what it's worth. Secondly is myself. I want to put myself in the next spot. Why? Because if I don't take care of myself, my health, my fitness, my mind, I don't take care of me, I'm not going to be able to take care of anybody else in the rest of this list. And so first is God. God is the most important relationship in my life, and he affects every other area of my life. Secondly is taking care of myself, because myself, my health, my mental state, everything is going to affect every other relationship in my life. And so I need to take care of myself. Thirdly is my wife. My wife is incredibly important to me. She is my best friend. My relationship with her helps me focus on every other area of my life. She's my confidant. She helps me process life. And I wouldn't be able to do it without her. Fourthly is my daughter, Amelia. And, or any children I may have, I also wrote down. Because I want to focus all of my attention on my family. I want to focus my attention on the most important relationships in my life, because relationships are what matters most. Vocation really doesn't matter the most. You know, as much as I love this podcast and my blog, it doesn't matter when it comes to the grand scheme of things. My finances don't, but my relationship with God, myself, and my family. Those are the three things that I need to put in proper order, and that is what matters most. And so it doesn't have to include everything that I include. You personalize it your own way. You know, feel free to use your spouse's name or your family members' names if you're not married. But make it your own. You know, so identify your key relationships and write them down. And then secondly is describe how you want to be remembered by each and every one of them. How do you want to be remembered by each of them? And so that's what I did. I wrote down, so for my wife, I wrote down, I want her to remember me for being a faithful, loving, and honorable husband who cared for her joy, her happiness, and always desired to strive to give her the very best by showing her unconditional love. You know, my daughter, you know, I want her to remember me for being a great father, a mentor, and a friend, someone that she could look up to for encouragement, and someone who showed her what true godly love is. my parents, that, you know, I was the kind of son that they could be proud of, and one who kept the honor of the Sism name while setting the next piece of our family legacy. For my colleagues, that I'd be remembered for being there when needed, not just as a co-laborer or worker, but as someone who led with intentionality. To my friends, that they would remember me as a loyal friend and confidant, showing what it truly means to be a man of honor and someone who inspires them to live better lives. And so that kind of sums up, in a sense, starting to write down your eulogy. Because if you don't write it down, you're not going to know how to live your life here on out. So I'm going to read my eulogy, and I actually wrote it as if it was being read at a funeral. And it sounds kind of morbid, but I'm going to read it to you anyway, because I believe that the words here are incredibly powerful. So here's what I wrote. Jason was a man who defined what it means to be a man after God's heart. He strived his life to becoming more like Christ every day. Through his countless writings, sermons, and notebooks, his legacy lives on because of the words he wrote. If there was one word to describe Jason, it would be faithful. That is who he was, and that's what he leaves behind. Born premature to Dale and Sandy at 3 pounds, 5 ounces. Yeah, I know, totally crazy, right? God performed a miracle and he lived, and it was because of the prayers of his parents and their faith. Jason accepted Christ into his life in the young age of 5. Growing up in a strong Christian home, those principles shaped him until he heard the clarion call of God at age 12 to go into the full-time ministry. Jason graduated from college with a Bachelor of Divinity in Theological Studies in 06. In 08, he was ordained into the full-time ministry by his father, Dale. He lived his years faithfully, working side by side with his parents as the operational pastor at Life Church. His desire was to help people find true life in Jesus Christ through his work at the church and around the world. He traveled to 5 continents sharing the good news of Jesus, saw countless souls brought into the kingdom of God because of his faithfulness to the Lord. Jason met his wife Carrie Ann in 09 at a friend's wedding they were participating in. They began dating in 2011 and married June 9th, 2012. He was a faithful and supportive husband. Carrie was Jason's whole world. She was his breath, life, and shining star when things were tough. He lived for his wife and always desired to see her succeed in all she did. They spent their years of marriage loving, honoring, and caring for each other. Jason's mission in life was to leave a godly legacy for his wife and children to follow, and to be an example of what a godly marriage was for others. Their daughter Amelia was his whole world. The moment she was born was the happiest moment of his life. And trust me, it was. He was there the moment she came into the world, and he described it as if the world stopped spinning. He was the shining example of what a godly, loving, and passionate father was. He exemplified Christ in how he treated Amelia. She became his little star. He was there when she accepted Christ as her personal Lord and Savior and taught her what it means to be a godly woman, and desires that she'll pass those same qualities on to her children. Through his many years of ministry and service to Jesus, consulting and blogging, he made countless friends and connections. Each person he connected with, he left a lasting impression. His words live on through his website, books, videos, and podcasts, each giving value and helping people live their lives with purpose and success. His exemplification of Christ was breathtaking, and people would often smile because of the joy that exuded from his heart. He desired to see everyone come to faith in Jesus and would often leave an encouraging note just to show the love of Christ. His friends call him passionate, friendly, loyal. His family calls him godly, loving, and unmoving in his convictions. His desire was to leave a lasting impact that will carry them through life, even though he is now absent from it. He lived to make the world a better place and to see people smile, even if for a moment. Jason is survived by his wife, Carrie, daughter, Amelia, parents, Dale and Sandy, Sism, siblings, Jessica, Galena, grandparents Richard and Donna. He will be missed, never forgotten. His lasting legacy was being a man after God's own heart. Now, I know that was long, maybe slightly morbid, but that is how you write a eulogy. And my friends, that is what it means, and this is point number four, to making the most of your life and making it count. See, we want to leave a legacy. We want to leave a legacy for others to follow. We want to leave a legacy that's going to outlive us, outlast us for generations to come. We want to make the most of the time that we have left. And my friends, we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. My friend Bess Lawrence and I wrote a blog about what she taught me in prayer. And you can find it on my website. Go to jbsism.com and scroll down to a few posts ago and you'll find it right there. Or you can just type in Bess Lawrence into the search and you'll find the post. I'll have the link in my show notes as well. jbsism.com/066. She got up one night and she called 911 because she wasn't feeling well. They arrived 5 minutes later and she was already gone. She was fine that night and she died a few hours later. You see, my friends, we honestly don't know. We don't know what life is going to hold. We don't know the future that's going to happen. But we have to learn to live a life that counts. Leave a godly legacy for others to follow. Write your legacy because it will live on. Well, my friends, next week, coming up next week, I want to continue this series on setting up a life plan. We'll be learning to stop drifting and live the life that we want. We can't begin a life plan unless we first understand what our mission is. Come back and I will unpack what a life plan is and answer several questions to help us understand what our destiny is. Well, my friends, thank you so much for listening. You can find the full show notes at jbsism.com/066. And until next week, do everything that you can to live your life. And my friends, I'll see you right here next week. And if you could do me one favor, head over to iTunes and subscribe to the show and rate it. That way we can help more people find their voice and succeed in life. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for listening. This has been the J.B. Sism Show. You can find the archives of the show at jbsism.com or on iTunes. Don't forget to visit jbsism.com to download a special ebook when you sign up for the free newsletter. You'll get new episodes, updates, and so much more. This podcast is copyright Jason Sism and Sism Enterprise, all rights reserved. Until next week, stay motivated with clarity, take your message to the next level, and find success in your family, ministry, and life.